It's KJZZ's Here and Now. Good morning. I'm Steve Goldstein in Phoenix. And now a drum roll, please. We are joined by the host of the Political Junkie podcast and radio show. You probably have heard this voice before, the voice of Ken Rudin. Ken, thanks for being with us.
Good morning, Steve.
So, biggest shocker last night? Is it
pretty
obvious?
I think the biggest shock was that everybody got it wrong. There was an LA Times poll that had Trump ahead at some point, and we all thought it was an outlier. But the fact is that everybody felt that after the debates, after the Access Hollywood tape of Donald Trump, after all the commercials and the organization and the early voting and all the things that Hillary Clinton and the Democrats made sure to accomplish before the election, we all thought, and the polls showed that she had a lead as she was pulling away. And the fact that every poll had that, I mean, it was between 3 points, 4 points, 5 points, but nobody had Trump in the lead. And yet we went to sleep last night, and I went to sleep numb and woke up numb.
So at one point, Trump used that old Nixon phrase of the silent majority. Is this what happened there?
That's a good point. I was thinking of that also because, I mean, if you listen to what people talked about to the pollsters, they said, well, you're going to have a great coalition of women and African-Americans and Latinos and young voters and all that. But there was an anger out there. We saw it probably start with the Tea Party in 2009, a reaction to what was going on around the country. Everything from perhaps the health care bill to same-sex marriage, all these social changes in the country that many people weren't ready for. And, you know, you talked to these people in Michigan and Wisconsin and Pennsylvania, which have been historically Democratic in many elections. And they were tired and they were angry and they were disturbed about jobs being shipped overseas and talks about a feckless foreign policy and a porous border. So there was anger out there. I guess nobody, including all the pundits, analysts and pollsters, picked up on it.
And how much of that anger was directed at Hillary Clinton specifically? I also think it's kind of strange. I know they're totally different people, but when Bill Clinton left office, yes, of course, there was the impeachment situation, but many people, his approval ratings were very high. A lot of people thought he had had a good presidency, at least as far as policy and results. How come none of that ended up giving a shine to Hillary Clinton?
Well, that's a great question, too. Hillary Clinton clearly is not the politician that her husband is and who Barack Obama is. She was always seen as cautious and defensive. And obviously, if you looked at all the polls, even the ones that had her ahead, it showed that she had high unfavorables. Matter of fact, if it weren't for Donald Trump, she'd have the highest unfavorables of any candidate in history. And the fact is that, you know, FBI Director Comey coming out with a report late in the campaign to talk about emails, even if it did absolve her, the fact is we were talking about emails. And as Bernie Sanders said, you know, I'm sick and tired of talking about your damn emails. And I'm sure Hillary Clinton said, I don't want to be talking about my damn emails either. And so when you had a combination of that and you had the WikiLeaks, which showed the inner workings of the Clinton campaign and how she felt about other Democrats. And then you also had rising premiums with the Affordable Care Act. It just seemed to be a conspiracy against her. And she just, you know, I mean, I think she did everything right. I think the commercials were good. I think the debate, I think she shined in the debates. I thought there were many, many things on a list of why Donald Trump should not be elected. I thought those were going to carry the day, and obviously they did not.
So has Trump completely redrawn what it's like to run a campaign, or is he just completely unique? Because even now people are saying he didn't really have much of a campaign structure, so how is he going to put together a cabinet?
Well, that's a great question. Remember, he's the guy who said, I know more than the generals in fighting ISIS. He's the guy who basically attacked his fellow Republicans like Paul Ryan, like John McCain, like others, like Jeff Flake, who he wanted to see defeated this year. Unfortunately for him, Jeff Flake wasn't running this year. But, I mean, all the things that he attacked his own party, now suddenly he's going to have to put a program together. And given the fact that so many Republicans were opposed to him because of, forget about the person, personality part, although that played a big role. But issues about like trade and taxes and foreign policy, I mean, warming up to Putin, getting rid of NATO or dismissing NATO, these are not the things that Republicans believe. This was not part of Republican orthodoxy. And right now he's going to have to start like, you know, the famous Emily Letella character in Saturday Night Live when she said, never mind. Well, I wonder if there'll be a lot of never minds as he's trying to work, create a government that works after this transition period.
This is KJZZ here. Yeah, sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say that was the best Emily Letella I've ever done in my life. I just wanted to.
I think the fact your voice is tired is making it sound even better. This is KJZZ here, and now I'm Steve Goldstein in Phoenix. That's the political junkie, Ken Rudin. He's the host of the Political Junkie podcast and radio show. And Ken, just a couple of minutes left, but one thing, let's talk about governing going forward, because Donald Trump's going to have a Republican Senate and a Republican House. There are people concerned about Supreme Court appointments. The Merrick Garland one, which was in limbo, one presumes is going to be eliminated, will not be considered. Where do you see the government going forward over the next 2 years?
That's also a great question. I mean, obviously, the antagonism between Ryan and Trump that existed during the campaign is obviously going to change. The fact that he has a Republican House and Senate is good, but it doesn't always mean everything. Even Barack Obama, when he had a Democratic House and Senate, a veto-proof House and Senate, a filibuster-proof House and Senate in 2009, he didn't get everything he wanted either. So there are a lot of things like that. But also, and a lot of us were thinking, why didn't the Republicans take the Merrick Garland deal when they could have had a chance? Because Hillary Clinton's nominee would be so less centrist. And here we are. Ultimately, the Republican strategy seemed to work. Now, obviously, governing is different than campaigning, as we've learned. And we've seen that Donald Trump did a campaign that was just completely unprecedented. Let's see if he can get the government working again, because that's what he's promised to do.
And Ken, finally, how weird is this political system going to be? Let's say that nothing dramatically scary happens because of a Trump presidency. Let's just say he is a different kind of character, different kind of president in the White House. Are there certain things you're going to be watching for, certain tipping points that indicate whether Donald Trump is really trying to be a more conventional president?
Well, does he? I mean, you know, I mean, he would talk about ending Obamacare like he could snap his fingers. And of course, he's, you know, there's some talk about executive orders. But just like when Reagan came in, a lot of conservatives thought that he would change, he would outlaw all the New Deal programs. That obviously didn't happen. I think Donald Trump is smart enough that even though some of the things he said were not considered politically smart enough, but I think he's smart enough to know that compromise is the only way to work. He can't go in like Jimmy Carter came in 1977 and basically said, I'm an outsider and I expect to work with Congress, and it didn't happen. Trump is going to have to make serious concessions.
That's Ken Rudin of the Political Junkie podcast and Political Junkie radio show. Ken, great to reconnect with you on KJZZ. Thanks.
Steve, thank you so much.